I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
I just thought we could scratch it out. Tim Melia came up with some big saves. They kept it within one goal. All they needed was just, God damn it, Daniel, poke the ball home. Just put the ball across the line, Daniel. Oh, that's all they needed. Just scratch it out. 30 minutes of more scratching it out. Tim Melia heroics in PKs. We're on to LA. I'm not at acceptance yet. I'm not there yet. Anything to shake this, but I'm in. But Tim's got me drinking. Back at it again with another shade of blue. A stupid shade of blue. This is going to be a tough one, guys. It's a quick reactions pod, fresh after Sporting Kansas City's 1-0 loss to Houston in the Western Conference semifinals.
We sucked.
I don't know how this is going to go. Thad thinks bad. We can make it through. Yes, probably bad. It's going to be disorganized, but you know what? We're doing it raw. And we're letting everyone just see us for who we really are.
Eddie, insolent children. Oh, sorry.
That's true. David's probably going to be showing a lot of that on this one. We have an all-off season, but we wanted to do a quick reactions thing. I don't know how it's going to go. Thad thinks we can make it through all 5 stages of grief, doubting we're going to make it to acceptance.
You'll be okay, Cody.
You're normally our level head. That's one thing we do here at the KC Soccer Journal. Give an array of opinions, the wide-angle view. We try to give people a level head on things. A well-rounded point of view. So we might need you to talk us through this. You're a therapist for the 5 stages here today.
I do rant once in a while, but yes, I will try to help you through to be okay with yourself.
Cody, but before I go into just the most unhinged rant that one could imagine, I'm going to stop short of like calling for the dissolution of MLS or like pro, but we're circling that runway. Before that, though, go to the KC Soccer Journal. If you listen to this podcast, go to the KC Soccer Journal, get in the comments, debate it with us. Do you agree? Do you want Thad's reasonable, like unnecessarily normal approach to things? Do you want to just be an unhinged lunatic like me? Do you want to play both sides like Cody? Get in the comments.
No.
Participate in the chat with us. We love it.
I want fiery comments. Go to the comments section and just spew it all. It's a safe place for venting. Just let us hear it. So, on that note, please go subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And leave us a comment at kcsoccerjournal.com. I'm Cody Bradley, Thad Bell, Robert Russert, David Greenwald is here. Thad's name in the chat is Thad is going to be okay. So, he may have already reached acceptance. We're going to try to get there by segment 3. I don't know if it's going to happen. Segment 1 is going to be a lot of denial and anger, I imagine. So, David, you seem to be the fiery one among us. So, why don't I just let you list your grievances?
Well, it's the holiday season. You know, we're done with Thanksgiving. We're approaching Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever else you might celebrate. And there's Festivus, and part of Festivus is the airing of grievances.
I was hoping that's where you were going with that.
I've got a whole lot to say, and I'm not very happy with a whole lot of people. So buckle up.
Thad, do you want to like add any fair warning before he goes into this? I don't know how long this is going to go. We might need to keep him in check. Are you ready for David to just unleash?
I think it's healthy for him to rant, but I just want to make sure that everybody's listening. It feels also safe that if they are being too upset by it, they can just turn the volume down a little bit, let it go for a minute, and then come back for a much more rational approach after
I'm going to let him get it out. And actually, yes, if you need to turn the volume down while David is doing this, how about everyone together while listening, you can also list your grievances. Like I said, this is a safe space. Just scream in your car. This is what you can do while David is going, because I'm going to let David go and just keep booking through the list. We don't need to nitpick and talk about it all right away. So I'm just going to let David go.
And air your own grievances at the KC Soccer Journal. Come at us in the comments. Add your grievances. Let's make a list. We'll send it to Don Garber.
Have the argument with yourself in the car and in the mirror and get it right, and then go put the comment at kcsoccerjournal.com.
Let's do this. I loved that the referee in this match walks over to Hector Herrera after his third foul in the first half, and he points around and says, 1, 2, 3, no more. Next foul. Next time you foul somebody, I'm going to book you. And then what does Hector Herrera do? 2 more fouls, no booking. Why even warn him? Why even bother? Why even bother? What's the point? And then he calls all of these like ticky-tack, like crazy fouls on us. Like Alan Pulido gets hacked down, but somehow it's a foul on Alan Pulido. What's the point? What is the point of just allowing another team to foul relentlessly with no real bookings, but then call the ticky-tack stuff going the other way? What's the point?
Let it out.
Stupid. It's absolutely stupid. They let Houston conk a cap away the entire second half. At one point in stoppage time, the ball goes out for a goal kick, right? It goes out at like the 2:12 mark of stoppage time. And I started counting. Steve Clark didn't kick the ball for 30 seconds. The ball didn't go back and play for 30 seconds on a goal kick. And then you've got Carrasquilla or whoever like going down, pretending like he's hurt. Hector Herrera pretends to be hurt. They all pretend to be hurt. And then they take that ridiculous corner kick at the end where they take a minute and a half to decide which of those two orange-clad assholes gets to kick the ball, ultimately just to kick it to them like in the corner, right? Play a short corner. And then the ref blows the whistle. 6 minutes of stoppage time was actually like 2 minutes of stoppage time. It was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous.
What are we doing?
Here's the thing that really, really frustrates me about all this is that it couldn't have happened to a less deserving fan base. Okay. And I'm gonna vomit here for a second, but I'm actually gonna praise St. Louis, because at least the toasted Ravs showed up for their team all year long. These new Johnny come lately Houston assholes, where have they been for years? Not in the seats. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve a good team. They don't deserve playoff wins. They don't show up for their team. They're not supportive. They're awful fans. They're
so many
garbage fans. They don't deserve it. And that's super frustrating. It's super frustrating to see a fan base that doesn't deserve it get rewarded.
Keep going.
I'm frustrated that Vermees didn't sub earlier.
I don't know
what match he was watching. So he so often justifies not subbing by saying like, well, you know, like our starters were playing really well, so why change things up?
And we sucked. It was terrible to watch the team like that suffering behind the ball.
What world was he watching? What match was he watching that any of those guys deserved to stay on the field? Milia played really well. I thought Fontas played pretty well. Everybody else was like somewhere between fine and like not good. But Vermees just doesn't bother to sub until we're at what, in the 80th minute, right? Like the impact subs off the bench, the offensive subs off the bench don't really bother coming in until the game's already over. Like, it's just a masterclass in being like terrible with your use of your substitutions. But, you know,
we sucked.
Let's talk about the handball, okay? Because that changes the whole match, right? The whole match. Because if you call it a handball, then it's a mandatory red card, which means the game is most likely tied 1-1 going into halftime, and Houston's down a man for the rest of the game. His arm is very clearly not in a natural position. The angle from behind the net shows very clearly he's got his hand up and he's pulling it back. And even if you say he tried to get it back down to his side, the fact that it was out of position and he was trying to move it back in shows you that he didn't just have it down by his side. He was moving from an unnatural position, trying to get into a natural position. He didn't get there. You look at that picture from behind the net, his arm is 6-8 inches off the side.
Okay.
When it hits him in the arm.
Okay.
And it stopped the goal from going in.
Okay, you got the handball.
It's garbage.
Any other grievances?
It was garbage.
I feel like there's probably a lot more. Thad, are we okay on the anger and denial so far? Do you need to reel anything back?
Well, I think the anger is good, man, but I don't know if we really hit the denial. I mean, like, it happened, so I mean, there's nothing you can change about it, so I just want to make sure we go through the denial stage.
Oh, the schedule. Hold on. Sorry. I should have put this earlier. The schedule. Why?
What are we doing?
And we've talked about this before, but like, we play an unbalanced schedule. We don't play home and away against everybody in the Western Conference. We play an unbalanced schedule so that we can delay everything to the playoffs into November, at which point we play a best of three series. Then we have to wait for everybody else to play their third game, only to go to an international break so that any teams with any momentum get stalled out by a totally unnecessary FIFA window. The schedule is all fucked. There's absolutely no reason for any of this. So, I mean, I can't, like that said, you can't deny it. All of these things happened. Whether they should have happened or not is a different question, but they all happened. So, I mean, I don't know what there is to deny other than the fact that, like, I mean, there's no denying that pro fucking sucks. I don't know what else there is.
I think the denial comes in with, you know, we wanted a fairy tale ending, and it's just hard to believe that it ended this way.
It's not real.
Yeah, exactly.
How could this happen to us?
To accept. You'll come to accept that it is real, though, Robert.
I don't have to.
So we got enough into the handball there. Let's just go back to that part from David's list of grievances. Thank you for the Festivus presentation there. I liked that very much. Thad,
what'd you PowerPoint if you need one.
What'd you think of the handball? You're calling it a handball, I hope, right?
I am, and I'm trying to be careful that I'm not just seeing it but the way I want to see it. So I wanted to look at it on the big screen. I got a big computer screen, and I'm looking at details, and I'm looking at every little thing he was doing. And yes, I felt that because he pulled his arm down, it hit like bicep right above the elbow, I think. But because he was pulling it all down, he changed where it was at, and he blocked the ball because he pulled his arm down. He would not have blocked it if it actually left it in the unnatural position, but because he pulled it down, it blocked it, which just the act of moving makes it a red card, makes it a penalty, makes it a red card, takes a starting center back out of the game, makes Houston make some adjustment, and I don't know, they could have still lost it in overtime.
That, I think why that's so, you hit like such an interesting part of that, and why it's so frustrating is where the line is between making yourself bigger, the quote-unquote making yourself bigger, which I believe is part of the rule, or it was at one point. It's a line you hear a lot. And the natural position. Because the motion down did make himself bigger. And he was doing his chest is inverted in the way that you do when you're settling the ball with your chest. And so his arms are at his side, but also slightly in front, creating just that little angle there and that view from behind the net. You can see it hit his arm, it wobbles, and when you have that little bit of angle there sticking out on front, then that's what kept the ball off the line. Peter Vermees said it right in the post game. It did. His hand kept the ball out. That is the bottom line. But it may be one of those situations where the ball never lies, or the ball doesn't lie, because Allen should have finished that. Daniel should have smashed it home too. And I can't believe we didn't get a goal out of that. I can't believe it. There, boom, denial. Got it. We hit denial.
I do remember earlier this year, though, Rosero gave up a penalty because he had his hands behind his back and his elbow chicken winged out a little bit. So they said that he made his body bigger because he chicken winged. Mm-hmm. But he had his hands and arms behind his back as much as possible. So I sometimes feel like I don't know what the real rule is anymore, and there's no consistency to how anybody actually calls it. And again, if I'm going to display some anger about it, is I do feel like if it was called, it stays, it's not overturned. If it's not called, Now there's at least a little bit of room of doubt, and I feel like a lot of refs are just not calling things and saying, ah, VAR will fix it, because if I missed it.
Yep. Yep.
That well, ref and, did. Okay. I mean, that's happening all over the world, right? I was watching a Premier League game today, and there were like 9 offsides, and the ARs just let it play because they're like, well, you know, who cares if the ball goes in the back of the net? We can always fix it later. And so the idea of like, I, as a center ref, am too cowardly to make a call that may change the game because I've got the guys up in the booth that can, like, you know, whatever. Like, if I just get it wrong, like, they can always fix it later. It's cowardice. It's ruined how officials officiate the game.
Okay, so cowardice. But isn't there something also wrong with, okay, I didn't see it well, I can't make a definitive ruling on this? Isn't there some credence to that as well? And I'm not being an apologist because I agree it was a handball, but isn't there some credence to, hey, I didn't see it well enough to make the call?
Yeah, that, of course. You're absolutely right. They're humans, that the referees, of course, that is a thing, and it's fair. Like, that's just something that happens. But it's also, that's why fans can be really upset about this. The ref couldn't see it. Yeah. He wasn't, like, something went wrong. The ref didn't see it. We were hard done. Like, undeniable. We were hard done by that call, by that no call.
So, okay, is this a thing? Can you, as a referee, say, okay, I didn't see it, I'm not going to call it VAR, though I'm going to demand with VAR that I get a look at it? I guess you can't do that. That's not part of it, is it?
No, at least not the way I understand it. Mm-hmm. I do think it should be a, hey, can I go back and look at it? I do think there should be a ability to do that. I was looking for a good word, but I couldn't find a good one.
Just don't throw the ball in, or don't kick it off until they if it's your ball, don't do it until they go look at it.
I did hear a couple of things, like, people have talked about these different, like, solutions to it, and one of them was that managers would have a challenge flag. Hey, you screwed up and didn't call it, and VAR can't change it because you didn't call it, but you should go look at it.
Right.
It'd be a challenge flag. Like, maybe, you know, one or two of those in a game, one per half or two, whatever, but some option to try to overturn a missed call and have the ref actually take a look at it, and not VAR saying, I can't change something that there's not a clear enough and obvious or enough reason to change it, because that's the gold standard. But again, it's going to be, if there was no VAR, it wasn't going to be called anyway, so we'd still be in the same situation.
So let's do the 180 here. Say Sporting's up 1-0 and Houston gets that call and they get a PK out of it and we lose a player to a red card. Would you feel hard done about it, or would you be like, okay, fair enough?
It's a really good question, and that's where I was trying to look at it really closely and not – I was trying to keep my emotions out of it.
Right, yeah.
And it's hard. Because it is really hard. I mean, fans – people who follow teams, cover teams, of course want the team to do well. So it's always very hard to not, you know, but I know I've seen all of these, and it's the most frustrating thing about it to me is that like I said, you know, like, Rosero gives up a penalty because he is trying to keep his arms behind his back, but it hits his elbow. Now this guy doesn't have his arms behind his back, you know, which is the gold standard for what a defender is supposed to do. And it's not a handball. It just feels like there's not a consistency.
It's inconsistent.
So I went back even to 2002, to the Torsten Frings handball, just to get a look at that to see how similar it was. It's a very similar situation where, you know, the hand stops the ball from going in the net.
But the rules have changed.
They have.
It used to be, if it touches the hand at all, it's a handball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, then if it was, if you had a chance to move your hand, you know, if you're 3 feet away from them and they blast it and it hit your hand, that wasn't a handball.
Ball to hand.
But again, yeah, exactly right, Cody. But again, it will still come down to refs making the calls.
Yeah, you said earlier that you're not sure the refs even all know what a handball is or if you know what it is. And it's the same thing in the NFL right now for what a catch is. There are times all those on the sideline, it's up for debate on so many different things, or how the ref is going to call it, how that ref is viewing the language and the rules. And it's a very annoying thing in soccer, the inconsistency there with the way that's called. But that's just, you know, it's pro referee. It's always going to be a factor. It's, we complain about it here, but it's also a factor in every league in the world. These calls,
right.
When you get to the playoffs and we put everything, all the marbles on MLS Cup and not the regular season thing, this is just what happens.
I hate to keep, like, you know, and I do it sometimes too. Oh, it's pro. But we've been saying that it's happening all around the world. Some of the worst mistakes that refs have made and VAR has made has been in the most expensive league in the world.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia.
And if they're screwing it up, the guys who supposedly invented soccer, and, you know, they've never been able to bring anything home other than bad calls, but that was a bad joke. If they can't fix it, if they can't get it right, something needs to be made better by FIFA, by what the federal, the people who actually decide the rules.
Okay.
Well, but hold on. Real quick though, to that point, like, the one of the reasons that the Premier League and all the other leagues around the world are struggling with VAR, but MLS should be better. It's just, it's basic replay culture, right? Like, Americans grew up on replay. That's the whole thing. Like, you know, the most popular sport in this country is the NFL. The NFL loves a good replay. Everything gets looked at. Every college football play gets looked at. And so we ought to be better at understanding how to use video review properly. The problem is the quality of the officiating in this league is awful. And then the other part of it is that there's a lack of accountability with VAR, right? You never hear what the conversations are between, like, they never release the audio between the VAR and the center referee, where you can have an understanding of what are they looking at, why are or aren't they making the calls that they're making.
They do,
but they do the YouTube thing where they have some guy from Pro come out and justify it. Yeah, but like, the Premier League released audio where you could hear the actual conversation between the VAR and the center ref when they screwed up really bad in the Liverpool-Tottenham game earlier this year. You never hear, like, what are we looking at? What are we not looking at? Trying to understand any of that. So there's no real accountability for it at all.
And we've talked on this show multiple times about rugby. Rugby, just on the broadcasts, has the referee mic'd up. You can hear literally everything they are saying. You can hear their conversation with the guys in the booth. And, that would be an interesting idea to bring in here, but they would never... they would never do that in this sport.
But you've got guys who are like, they're going to protect themselves, right? Like, how often are they going to come out and say, oh yeah, we screwed up, that was the wrong call? You know, to the point where, again, back to the Premier League, he's a retired official, but he said, like, I was the VAR in a match. I didn't call down when I should have because the center ref was my friend and I didn't want him to have a tougher day than he was already having.
That the why not that you just asked there, why wouldn't they do that? Is the same reason why they're still letting old men call balls and strikes in Major League Baseball when we have all the technology and ability to see the balls and strikes like that. It's the referee, the umpires union. I don't know.
Well, I'm not saying take
away
the referees.
Sense, but
I don't think anybody's exactly saying take away the referees in soccer. It's just that, again, I mean, if you go to a fast food place and have bad service, you can hold them accountable by doing Yelp and, you know, giving them bad reviews. Right. I do believe that referees are held accountable and that they get bad reviews, and people that watch this, their management do. We've seen refs screw up and not get games for 2 weeks or 4 weeks. We've seen refs get dropped from MLS games. It does happen. So, I mean, I don't want to be over the top and say these things don't happen, because they do. They do. Maybe it needs to be better, or it needs to be faster, or it needs to be more transparent would be great. But any job that you have, anything that you have a union for, is going to not want you to have a transparency in your punishment. You know, nobody wants to say, oh, this guy was punished. And, you know, even like the players don't want that.
Well done for bringing that up, the reminder about the punishments and all of that, but I absolutely hate you for doing it.
Thank you.
Is that denial? That's
I feel
denial,
like I'm doing my job.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons. This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's move along from the referees. We've done enough about that. We can talk about another point from David's airing of grievances. The subs. How about a lack of subs in this game, or was it too late for you, Robert?
Yeah, I'm just looking at, just to remind myself, 70th minute, Tommy came on for Gotti. Okay, fine. Wasn't until the 84th, though, where Zuzi and Agata came on. So to me, that is definitely too late. Yeah, something needed to change. It wasn't working for 84 minutes, and you give it 6, 12 total to fix it. That math doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't like the sub timing either.
Well said.
And then Roger at 89th minute.
Right, yeah. Like that was going to make a difference, right?
There's so much data. That has been like, there's so much data that's been done. So much analytical, so much analysis, if you will, has been done on like when subs are most impactful and when you should be making subs. There's like a whole, I mean, it's obviously you know, some games are still situational, but like they've done the math. And if you don't sub at the 60 minute mark, you're missing the opportune window. The opportune time to sub is between 55 and 65.
Is that right? Does someone need to look that up?
No, it was in The Athletic like a year ago. I can go source it if you don't believe me.
Get back to us on that one.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and go into the bargaining stage and focus on all of the chances missed. Daniel Shallowy did not have a game that he is going to be proud of. 2-3 chances to put one home. And Thad missed a couple of those right on the goal line.
They did.
I am actually surprised. I'm looking at the stats right now that Houston had 3 saves. Because the whole first half, I don't think we made their keeper make a save. I think they're all in the second half, obviously. But first half, we had some chances that we could have done better with for sure. Johnny's first chance was a tough angle. But there were some other chances we had that we just need to put on frame.
David, did you get all of your grieving out about these? Actually, I think I might have cut you off before you could even get to all of the missed chances.
No, it's disappointing. If you look at like the XG for the match, Houston didn't create a ton. I think they were at 1.3 XG and Sporting was at 0.9. Yep. Neither team created like all that many chances. The thing is, you know, when you don't create a lot of chances, you have to be extremely clinical, and they weren't. And so, yeah, Daniel probably wants one or two back, you know, Agata probably wants one back. But at the end of the day, like, we didn't do anything to really set up good chances and we paid for it. It's very frustrating.
I don't think that we didn't set up good chances. I think that they were letting Houston have a lot of the ball and we were going to be doing some counterattacking. And they did that. But when you do that style of play, you just have to take your chances. You have to finish what's given to you, and we didn't do that.
Retrospect could be 100, you know, 20-20, whatever the saying is. But Johnny, on that first chance that he had, did you guys all see Polito just running down the gut? It's like, if you look back on that replay, it's like, Johnny, play Allen, please. But, you know, there you go.
How about some positivity? Something good there was Gotti Kinda's pass that set up the handball and that whole debacle. I think it was a one-touch pass, and it was on a steal. Like, the ball just kind of fell to him, and he cut a crazy angle to get one in there. So that was something good, something positive about this game.
Good job, Cody. That's part of getting through the stages is finding some positives.
I Thought you would be proud.
Well, I'll throw out another positive, guys. I thought Leibold, especially for being off for so long, had a pretty darn good game. I mean, yeah, he made a few little mistakes, but he was pretty effective all night, I thought.
So you're a man of the match?
Oh, gosh.
If you're going to pick one for Sporting, yeah, I guess so. Why not?
Timmy.
Sure.
Yeah, Timmy. It's gotta Tim, be
that's
Tim.
True. Tim. There you go, Tim. That's right.
No, I think Tim Fondless. Tim Melia is the Tim we were going for there. Tim Leibold, Robert, I think he was did exactly kind of what we thought he was going to do. He was okay on defense, but he was lacking a little bit going forward. You could see he was missing kind of a magic touch, or he was rusty, not in the speed of the game yet, and things like that. There were a couple touches in the final third that let him down.
Yeah, like I said, considering that he hadn't played for so while, that in the situation he's in a conference semifinal, I think he handled himself pretty well.
Yeah, he did. Doesn't make me feel any better. Depression. Stage 4. We're making our way through.
There is a list of the 4 stages of, grief, but I went with the 5-stage one. So maybe it would have been faster to get through if we went the 4 stages.
I don't understand why the team set up the way they did. Robert, why did Sporting just concede the ball?
Well, I don't think it was a bad idea to start that way, because it's a tactic that could work, because Houston has shown a propensity of, playing through that midfield and building their attack that way. And so if we set back and clog that up a little bit and try to take it away, it's not a bad idea in principle. The problem with me was it clearly was not working. So you've got to do something different. And from my eyes, I didn't see that we tried to do anything different. That's what was frustrating.
They came back from half as the second half was starting. And Tony Meola was like, I guess Nate said it. He was like, so do you change up the tactics here, or do you stick with what you're doing? And it's like, yes, you change tactics. Like, we got rocked in the first half. Like, something has to change.
But it didn't.
I mean, hey, guys, you've got to give Houston credit, right? I mean, they played almost a perfect game in the sense that they did their thing. They dictated the game to Sporting, didn't let Sporting get in any rhythm at all. That goes back to some of the fouling they did. They played a good game. You've got to give them credit.
I don't have to do anything, Robert. Mind your business.
Houston That's did denial. Play a good game.
We're stepping back, David.
Sorry. I'm more emotionally raw than you are, maybe. I don't know.
He's depressed.
Could be.
Houston did play a good game. They did deserve to be where they're at. I mean, it sucks for Sporting. For, Houston has made a big change this year. They played well, even though we don't like them. We don't like orange colors. We don't like some of their players. Don't like their coach that much, one of their coaches. But they're a good team, and the team deserves to be there. The fans may not deserve the team they got, to go back to David's point earlier, but we can't change that.
So do we want to get into the point that, in my opinion, our system is fairly easy to tactically defend? I think we need to be more direct. I don't think Gotti or our number 10 always playing tilted toward the left is always a good idea. I don't think Polito coming back in the midfield is always a great idea. I think there's more that we need to do with our setup, but that may be for a different pod.
It seems convenient that you would ask these questions after they won 5 straight games and then they finally lose one. And it's like, hey, is this working or not?
Well, I don't think St. Louis did a very good job tactically on their end. So there's that.
It's because they suck.
Their coach was voted second, in the coach of the year running.
David, I'm
sorry. All I heard was that he didn't win. Sorry, Thad. What did you say anything after he didn't win?
Not for your ears.
Okay, thank you.
Your ears are delicate. I got to be careful of what I say around you, David.
Yeah, that's right.
But again, Houston played well. Sporting didn't play as well as they should have. And I hate to say that the tactics didn't work, because they did work in some previous games. They didn't work this time. The biggest thing I saw was not that the sitting back was working. I mean, it can work. It could have worked against them, but they were getting smothered when they tried to get out. They weren't doing that effectively. And I don't know if that's because they weren't sharp because they were laid off for a while, if they weren't doing it well because Ndembe wasn't there. And this isn't blaming Leibold. It's just saying that Ndembe was hot the last few weeks until he got hurt. So I don't know what the answer, actual answer there is. Or it's just bad luck. I don't know.
As much as I'm mad at the lack of the handball call, I don't think that's why Sporting lost. Right. I mean, obviously it changes the game if they call it and everything, but the reality is I thought we played so passively, you know, and it's one thing to kind of play that mid block encounter. And it's another thing to just be outright passive. And I thought there was a lack of urgency all game long. They weren't springing midfield traps. They weren't doing anything to really draw Houston in and then collapse and then quickly strike back. Everything was slow. As soon as we'd win the ball back, it was a slow buildup, which is kind of the opposite of what you're trying to do when you counter. I think my frustration with the idea of us kind of trying to play counterattacking against Houston is that, like, it works against St. Louis because St. Louis doesn't know what to do with the ball. St. Louis doesn't want the ball.
Right.
But Houston does want the ball, and they're dangerous when they have the ball, and they can build up, and they can attack. So just simply conceding that and being like, okay, here you go. I mean, that's what you do when you are a less talented team. That's what you do when you're a bad team, right, is you bunker and counter and hope to get lucky. That's not what our team should be at. I don't think – I mean, we beat them earlier in the year. We drew them earlier in the year, and then we lost to them in the Open Cup with a bunch of backups. Like, this is not a Houston team that should be dominating us, where we should concede 70% possession, where we should be playing a mid-block or a low block and hoping to strike and counter. It doesn't make sense why we would do that, as opposed to the St. Louis game when it made all the sense why we would do that.
No, I'm not on board with that. The only difference is just that they didn't finish those chances. They had three chances. Johnny had one right at the beginning of the game, the handball on the goal line, and then Daniels, I'm gonna call it a sitter, that he kicked it right at the goalie. Those are three chances. The difference between those last games is that they converted their chances. This one, they didn't.
We sucked.
So I get the idea of being like, oh, it doesn't, the same tactic doesn't match up well with Houston, or we shouldn't have done it. That's just kind of a hindsight thing. I think it was just one of those days. They've been hot 3 weeks. They cooled off. It just was one of those days. They didn't have it on the day. They didn't finish those chances. If Daniel just puts that one home, this whole conversation could be very different, and the tactic would have worked out. It was just one of those days. They didn't finish the chances, and that's why this happened.
Well, David, you restored my faith in you by saying that this game was not determined by the referee call. And Cody, yes, of course, we should have finished our chances. But the fact also is we were not good on the ball. Now, were we not good on the ball when we got possession and kept possession because we were off for 3 weeks? We lost some of that, you know, that ability. Or was it because Houston was pressing so well, organized? I don't know.
Yeah, or a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Right.
Yeah. To throw another factor in there is Kenda was away from the team for 2 weeks. Where so maybe that threw a hole in there too, is they were, he was in sync with his national team where he wasn't in sync with Sporting. I don't know how many of Houston's players were called up, so that's probably just a bullshit thing I just threw in there, but hey, I threw it in there.
Well, I think a lot of times Gotti tried to do too much as well. Instead of playing more simple ball, he tried to, you know, get his way out of, you know, two guys on him, things like that.
Always a problem though, is when those tactics don't work, is you try to do too much and then that just makes it worse and worse.
Yeah.
To add to the generalized term of it just wasn't their day, they also just didn't have it. Like you were saying, Robert, it wasn't just that they didn't convert those chances. It was the touches weren't as crisp. The passes weren't as right. They weren't as good on the ball. It just wasn't working. They didn't have it.
What was the temperature down there?
50s.
It kind of looked like it was an August game in Houston where it was, they were a little slow and they just weren't up to the heat, the humidity, and all that stuff. So maybe, you know, being 30 degrees up here or the 50s seemed like a 90. I don't know. Yeah. BS excuse. Not going there.
Well, I don't know if the wind was blowing or not, but for me, he's put on a heavier coat in the second half. So I don't know if the wind picked up and made it cooler or what. But
well, he is a temperature wuss for the cold weather. So he doesn't like cold weather. I do know that.
The refs
He's from New Jersey and he lives in Kansas.
I'm from the Midwest. I hate cold weather, so.
Yeah, but you're like acclimated to it.
I don't whine about it much.
The refs were one thing, but the biggest thing I focus on is the 3-week break. Inexcusable scheduling for MLS. It is obviously absurd. Anyone with eyes can see that. And the hottest team in the league cooled off. I didn't see fresh legs. I saw stale legs. It looked like they were coming back from preseason or from the mid-season break. It wasn't Sporting KC's day. Throw out all the generalized terms, like after an NFL game, all the nonsensical things. Wasn't our day. Didn't have it.
Cody, you're leaning hard into acceptance, man. That's good. That's growth.
Doesn't feel well.
Ew, but you're going to be okay, Cody. It will be okay. Again, I just want to go back and look. What was it? May 1st, we had Sporting had not won a game. They go on a retreat. They go drink things. They go break things. They dance around campfires. They shave each other's legs. I don't know what all they did there. But they win in Seattle. And at that, back in May 1st, if somebody would have said, man, you're going to go on a run that's going to be one of the best runs in MLS for the next few months. You're going to get into the playoffs. You're going to beat assholes from across the state that think that they're God's gift to soccer. And then you're going to go down to Houston and come up a little short on maybe a bad call. You would have accepted it at that point. You would have said, shit, I'll take that. That's a fun ride.
Yeah, that's all good. I'm just not ready to hear all of that. I think that means I'm not ready for acceptance.
Trying to get you there.
What I can accept is what we said last week. I think we said this coming into the game. Yeah, they were going to cool off a little bit. They've been on fire, 5 straight wins. And stretching even back to that, they've been even more unstoppable. A game like this was going to come where it didn't fall your way. But I just thought we could scratch it out. Tim Melia came up with some big saves. They kept it within one goal. All they needed was just, God damn it, Daniel, poke the ball home. Just put the ball across the line, Daniel. Oh, that's all they needed. Just scratch it out. 30 minutes and more scratching it out. Tim Melia heroics in PKs. We're on to LA because LA's winning the game. We're recording during the game. LA's winning. I'm not at acceptance yet. I'm not there yet.
We sucked.
What do you need to get you there, Cody?
Time. Time heals all wounds. Not there yet. This was a quick reactions pod, and it's been scattered and disorganized, but that's the risk of doing this. We had to get a raw podcast out there. Everyone needs to see this.
But Cody, that's a bit bullshit, man. Time does not heal all wounds. It does not heal all wounds.
I told you, I'm going with all the generalized terms now. This is what you do. That's my 5 stages of grieving is... just throwing out all these nonsensical terms. We didn't have it that day.
We'll be there for each other.
They wanted it more than us.
Maybe they did.
It sure seemed like they did.
You just got to have heart.
So we do have to accept Sporting is no longer in the playoffs, and the offseason is upon us. And I'm guessing we'll do an offseason pod at some point. But is the season just... over? Like, is MLS, so whenever KU loses in the NCAA tournament, basketball is just done.
Yeah.
And my football teams, KU is actually pretty good this year in football, but like my New York Giants are terrible. So like the NFL season never even started as far as I'm concerned. Like week 2, it was over. Are you guys watching the playoffs or do we just pretend like nobody, like soccer's done, the Premier League's rolling?
I don't care.
And we'll just move on with our lives.
I don't care.
I'll watch.
I'm definitely watching. Yeah, I'm watching.
It won't be like I have to watch every single second of it or anything like that. It'll be, and it's almost more of a hate watch. Like, I don't want Seattle to win.
Yeah, I'm a sicko and I hate myself, so I'll probably end up watching.
I don't know. I don't want anybody left to win, but it'll probably default to LA.
Yeah, same. Why is that? Why do we know it? Yeah, is that what it is? We hate a lot of teams as Sporting Kansas City fans. I don't really have a hatred for LAFC.
No hatred for LAFC. I don't like LA in general, but I don't have any hatred for LAFC.
Right.
Their fans aren't obnoxious.
Yeah, they're quite good, actually. They're impressive.
Ilya is an angel.
That's what it is.
An absolute angel who still deserves his stained glass at Children's Mercy Park when he retires.
Remember, he didn't want that, but okay.
He doesn't want the stained glass?
Remember when we had him on the pod? Come on, man.
He thought that was too much. We were flattering him with the stained glass.
He's just a very humble, good guy. But I, of all the teams left, I would like for Ilya to get another title. If anybody has to win it, I'd like for him to do it.
As long as he doesn't do another one of those commercials where he's not very good at it.
Yeah.
You know.
I just think the Western Conference is much more dominant than the Eastern Conference, and I want that to be shown in MLS Cup. I want it to be proven that a team in the Eastern Conference wins the Supporter Shield because everyone else is bad and they beat everyone, but then everyone in the Western Conference beats each other.
I would go along with that, Cody. I think that's good.
I want
good rationalization.
I want Western Conference dominance.
What? Why do you not? Other than that, is there any reason you don't like Columbus or Cincinnati?
Teams you forget about.
For me, it's just that they're from Ohio, and the only good thing to ever come out of Ohio is the interstate.
I'm also actually fine with either of them. Like, Wilfred Nancy is a good coach. He plays a good style. Columbus is entertaining enough. And Cincinnati's a good story. I mean, they were god awful for so long. And to win the Shield, maybe win a double, that's pretty cool.
I would probably go for Columbus next as a team I would root for, just because they're an original.
Okay, should we do a quick off-season pod? Quick ideas for changes that should be made. I know the off-season in MLS is not very long, but we've got several weeks here, 2 months it feels like, before people report. So we've got some time. We'll do all the off-season stuff. But quickly, Robert, what are you changing about this team?
I want us to be more direct in our attack.
Okay.
I think we're going to hear pretty quick who Sporting's going to be getting rid of.
They waste no time with those. Is that by personnel changes you want to be more direct? You want to let go of certain people? You want to sign new people?
Of course, there's going to be a fourth DP come in, right?
I don't know. Yeah, they're talking about that at a meeting, I guess those meetings have already begun or have already happened, but they wouldn't tell us. And the thing I saw was that it wasn't a for sure that it was going to go through, that there was a pushback on people wanting more than four and people not wanting to add any. So I haven't heard anything about that. Hopefully this week we'll get something about those discussions.
Typically the old cheap owners don't want to add more cost, so they don't want to do the DPs. And they don't want their teams to be more weak. They, you know, the other teams to get stronger to have those DPs.
Yeah, man. Colorado does not want other teams to be able to spend more money. They're just trying to coast as long as they can.
New England.
But hey, let Toronto spend all the money they want and they'll still be shitty. So there you go.
Oh, man. We haven't talked enough about that. They had like 3 of the 5 most expensive players in the league and they finished in last place. It's insane. Oh, man. Thad, a quick off-season thing. Do an off-season pod real quick.
I would like to see at least a few players that have not been productive and could probably benefit from going somewhere else in the world to go on. I don't want to like go through a list of names right now.
Well, how about the U22s that we signed? Were those all 3-year contracts? Because they're all 2 years done. I think we've got a winner on one. I think we hit 1 of 3. On those 3 U22 signings we had.
Well, and he wouldn't even have said that at the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
So he really came in.
Or like 6 months ago, we wouldn't have said that.
He really came mid-season and just like started to shine. So hopefully he comes back and is just as good, if not better.
I would actually say we've got a yes, a no in Janis, and a maybe in Volitor. Maybe.
David disagrees.
David, we're doing it.
No. Sorry. It's just I thought that was interesting because for me, it's a maybe on Jean-Yves, absolutely not on Volitor, and a yes on Ndenbe.
I haven't seen anything from Jean-Yves. Nothing that like a guy like Johan Quaze didn't show. You know, like it's he.
Wow.
Wow. Volitor's shown moments. And I like Johan Kwaze. I'm just saying there's a lot of guys out there with fast feet and they try these audacious things and it often doesn't work. And that's what happens with Giannis a lot. He's been non-existent. He hasn't seen the field in a long time.
I think he's had time to adapt to the league.
Yeah. Or was that sarcasm because he doesn't get to play? I don't know what that meant.
No, that was...
Explain yourself.
That was not sarcasm. He actually has had time to adapt to the league because he got a fair amount of playing time last year.
Yeah.
Not tons, but he got enough playing time. He got his chance to, like, learn the league. He's been practicing against MLS players. He's had time to get better if he was going to get better. So I would be okay with both of them leaving or either one of the two staying, but as long as they go find some really good South American to score a lot of goals.
I can't recall the last time Volitor or Giannis played. So,
Thad, did you see after we talked last week about the magical retreat at the ranch and that we were going to write an article about it and do a deep dive and we needed to hear more about it? And then the next week an article comes out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they listened to the pod and said, we can't let those wankers do an actual real story.
I think Patrick sold us out. Patrick listens. He texts Sam McDowell and was like, dude, you got to get that article out that you've been talking about before Cody and Thad beat you to it. No, but really, it's a great article from Sam McDowell. Not all the details. We didn't get any of like the dirty details. But it did finish with Johnny saying, like, he used the word yet on we don't get to hear about the dance, so maybe more details will come, but it's a
maybe
great
not
read
now though.
It's a great read, well done from Sam on that article. Go check it out, KC Star. I'm not
back
better.
To the off-season pod concept. What about the two old veterans, Zusi and Espinoza?
Did we see their last appearances?
Perhaps.
Probably.
Well, okay, Roger Lowe is staying, right, as far as we know?
Well, that's not determined yet. They got an expansion draft coming up in the current, and she could go elsewhere.
I thought the current was exempt now, but I guess not. Okay.
They were exempt from one team taking players, but not the other team.
Okay.
The one team that they haven't got protection from yet is Utah, which is coached by Amy Rodriguez, former teammate of Lo Labonta.
Mm-hmm.
My quick off-season pod take is I think a mistake that this team has made in years past is a good finish or a small showing, a glimmer of hope has kept them from making bigger changes going into a new season. And I think it would be great for the fans to see. It would be rejuvenating for a fan base to see them make some of those tough calls. Zusi looked good in his like few minutes here, but that was his first appearance since May, and he's going to be another year older. Roger played 1 minute, got beat pretty bad. I love them both, but it might have been time last year, right? We've asked if it's time with Roger for however many years. Zusi's looked good throughout the years, but I think some of those tough decisions, like if you do want to show, hey, this was a good run, we did well, but everything that happened and leading up to that, finishing in ninth, eighth place is not the standard we want. And we're going to make some wholesale changes. We need to make some tough choices. I would like to see something like that, and I think it would help a fan base that was pretty burnt out.
I do think that's going to be a good discussion for us, though, is do they need to make wholesale changes? Do they need to make three or four additions?
Yeah, see, I was using another generalized term there that just you hear after a bad season for a team, but just big changes. So show something that eighth place isn't the standard that they want. And making a choice like getting rid of those two aging players and, you know, bringing in some fresh blood is something that the fans are going to be looking for. That'll lead our off-season discussions, I think. But we don't need to dive into all of that right now. Thad, I feel like maybe you need to wrap us up. You've been the therapist taking us through five stages of grief.
Well, the sad thing is I don't think I'm a good therapist in this case.
Well,
however,
definitely
I was
not. Definitely not. Let's get that out of the way. Definitely, Thad is definitely not a therapist, so this wouldn't be good.
Hey, we're back to anger.
Like,
yeah, but now strip it at me.
You get what you pay for, Cody.
Yeah. I don't think any other therapist is going to sit on a pod with you at 10:22 after watching his favorite team lose, also trying to talk you through it to make you feel better. So,
you know what, though? Challenge accepted. Cody, go find us a therapist to guest on the pod and walk us through.
Honestly, I could do that very easily. All of my YouTube advertisements are for Good Help or Better. What's it called? Better Help. See, better. Advertisements are obviously not working. I can't remember what it is, but literally all of my advertisements are for them.
What searches have you been doing?
It's the year 2023. You can get a therapist in any corner of the world at 10:30 at night. I promise you that. We can all do that if you need it. This is good info for people. Go get help in this trying time if you need it. There's video chats available all around the world right now. Or you could just talk to Thad like I'm doing. It's not helping.
My daughter is working towards being a therapist. Music therapy.
Oh, yeah? Music therapy.
Yes.
Like she plays an instrument? No, we could get
sporting psychologist on that was alluded to in Sam's story.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's a very good idea. Mm-hmm.
And then we could try to pump that person for information.
God, the secrets she has.
My guess is she would like to keep her licensure.
Probably.
Yeah.
Come on, David.
Oh, sorry. I didn't
Stop
mean to.
Stop being level-headed.
My bad.
All right, Thad, that's Thad's job. Thad, take us out of here. Make all the people feel better. Everyone's mad and upset. Talk us out of here. Make us feel better.
As I said earlier in this pod, I am just happy that we had a good journey. We didn't go the rest of the season as terrible as they were in the first 10 games. We got to see Pulido come back. We got to see Kenda come back. We got to see Ndenbe break out. We got to see him not be able to play after tearing an ACL. But
oh, come on. You were doing so good.
We got to see all of this. We got to maybe see two great veterans get their last hurrah. It always ends up in sports that only one team is happy at the end. So everybody's going to be unhappy at some point. And just think, we not only got to see all of these things with these players getting the, you know, coming back from horrific, terrible knee problems and all this other stuff, we got to see Sporting get redemption and destroy a upstart rivals across the state and destroy their mental health for probably 2 or 3 years. Well, I will trade a few days of anguish, which is not even going to be anguish because I've already pretty much accepted it's happened. But we get the pride of having sent more people to therapy across the state than it is over here.
We still get the 2026 World Cup, right?
Yeah, and they don't. We still get to have some fun. We still have a two team. We still have a women's team. We have an indoor team that's good.
You were really going with like the easy political points there on going after St. Louis. I don't know why we're talking about St. Louis. We talked about them way too much. They have nothing to do with this, but it's like sex sells.
I'm going for things that made us happy this year.
Right, exactly.
Bashing St. Louis sells. No, you did make me feel a little bit better. The playoffs are a toss-up. It all comes down to little things like that. That's what we know going in. I know the season was a disappointment, but after those 5 straight games and the hot streak they were on, this was always going to happen. It's just one of those things. I can't be too mad about it. It was a very fun season. And wow, yeah, that's just a crazy thing to say. It was a fun season. It was a wild season. But I guess that's true. It was a fun season. I can now say that. I didn't know that I could say that until this. It was a fun season. Legendary. We did have the moments with beating St. Louis, and it's a memorable year. We'll never forget exactly. This one. So,
we were legendary bad. We were legendary good.
Morning! Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking.
again.